back, folks. Third hour is on. We're going to get back to how Israel is destroying the United States from the inside. But I want to take a break here, a little pause in this first five-minute segment to bring you some good news for once. From alexjoneslive.com, Dominion Voting Systems drops lawsuit against Mike Lindell and MyPillow. MyPillow CEO and founder Mike Lindell announced this week that Dominion Voting Systems dropped its $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit against him and his company. The Dominion drama started with a February 2021 lawsuit filed against MyPillow and Lindell for $1.3 billion after he repeatedly accused Dominion and fellow voting machine company Smartmatic of being involved in rigging the 2020 election. A judge found Lindell guilty without a jury trial, just like the courts did to Alex Jones in the Sandy Hook case. Jones and Lindell discussed the tactics used against them during an October 2025 interview. But of course, the tide has changed. The tables have turned. Here's Mike Lindell announcing that this lawsuit has been dropped. Full victory. Let's watch.
Evidence. And now, yesterday, if you don't see it in the news, they did one article out there from Law and Crime. Dominion dropped the lawsuit against Mike Lindell and MyPillow. That was yesterday. So I just want everybody to know it doesn't mean anything that I'm going to stop fighting these voting machine companies to, it was a nice gesture, but we are going to go. We're all in to get them, get rid of them, get to paper ballots hand counted. And here I'm going to announce right now, it should be within the next half hour. We're going to be posting on Lindell TV, everybody. It's 800 page historical drop of the voting machine evidence. This has never been seen before. A lot of it we have bits and pieces were out there. This has been compiled over the last 5 years. This will be right here on Lindell TV. It'll be posted in, like I say, in about 20 minutes. We're doing a press release on it. And anyone that ever tells you then, Vanessa, that ever says, oh, there's no evidence. This is like a library. It's a historical library with 500 and some, articles and 100% evidence that back each thing up. This was actually, part of this given to the president when he was told by, when he walked off this reporter a few weeks ago and he re-truthed it. So it's a very exciting day. We're going to tie in, you know, all these stuff.
So that is very exciting. Good to, you know, hear he's being released from the, again, it's one of those things that, I don't know, I'm just not satisfied with, like, hey, we stopped the attack momentarily. I'm glad that, you know, this has been dropped, but I mean, where's the compensation? Just like January 6th, I mean, I was shocked and surprised that they said they were opening up a $1.3 billion settlement fund to pay out to the people who were illegally persecuted by the Biden administration, but then they decided they actually didn't want to do that. Actually, it was the Republicans that came out and said, actually, this butts up with our financial conservatism and we can't just be giving away $1 billion. It's like, it's your constituents and they had their lives destroyed by the Biden administration, even though they did nothing wrong. What do you mean you can't repay them? So it's actually it's justice to see that these people are rewarded. So with Mike Lindell, like, do you know how much money it's cost him? Do you know, like, how much money he could have been making if that effort had been put into something else? Like, they can file these lawsuits. They can rig them. They can bankrupt you just through legal fees. And then they can drop the case and say, actually, never mind, we were wrong. And that's it. They've just run you through the ringer and there's nothing you can do to regain the time or money that you've lost trying to fight this off. I can't be the only one. I'm glad that this happened, but everything these days are like, oh, okay, we got the bare minimum. Fantastic. Amazing. We got the absolute bare minimum. We simply paused on the vicious attack against us. But we never go on the offensive. And we can never actually reverse the things they do. We can momentarily pause them.
Now the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to really try to get to the heart of what's going on here. And try to do it in a way that is forthright and upfront and not hiding anything from you, but also in a way that is undeniable. I gotta try to figure out how to walk this tightrope. But what we see over and over again from Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin, for example, they don't care about what's happening to the American people. They will pretend to. They will wax poetic about the threat of socialism. And yet, who were the biggest resistance against Trump's policy in the first administration, or the second for that matter, for mass deportation, shutting down the border? It was these types of people. It was these so-called conservatives that will say, without irony, and in total seriousness, I don't give a damn about the browning of America. In other words, I don't give a damn about your demographic replacement. I don't give a damn about your country, the people that live there. They actually don't give a damn. And when you look at the socialist sweeping last night as a direct consequence of the demographic replacement that's occurred in our country, the same one that's gone on in Europe, and the fact that in response to this, crushing oppression has been levied at the people of Europe who are against this, and now they're basically trying to stop you from being able to even anonymously discuss this stuff by tying your biometric identity to your online presence so that, you know, you really can't get away with opposing them in any way. And you look at the way there's sort of this feedback loop that occurs. And yes, it happens with third world populations bringing in their co-ethnics, voting for people who will let them scam and scheme and take advantage of the rest of America. Like, that obviously happens, and nobody's afraid of talking about that. But what happens when it's the Jews doing it? What happens when it's Jewish organizations that are opening up our border and allowing millions upon millions of people to pour in, and then complaining about the subsequent rise in anti-Semitism, and then demanding censorship on the basis of that anti-Semitism? It's the same feedback loop, only from a different population. Here's the important thing to understand, and this is the keystone here. I oppose it no matter who it is. It just happens to be the Jews doing it. I oppose it no matter who is the one doing it or why they're trying to justify it. I don't like Muslims doing it. I don't like Jews doing it. I wouldn't like it if it was the Catholic Church and the Jesuits doing it. And it is, to a certain degree, actually, when it comes to illegal immigration. They're high up there as well. And I'm against all of it. So the question I have for everybody out there that wants to oppose this view and act like this isn't the case: would you be in favor of literally anybody else doing this? Because, by the way, people are looking at the Jewish diaspora and they're seeing the effectiveness of utilizing the diaspora around the world of your co-ethnics in swaying the behavior of foreign nations to benefit your home nation, your home population, your fellow co-ethnics. people are explicitly taking the Jewish model and applying it to themselves. Are you against it when they do it? Because they're literally saying, we're going to do the Indians, by the way. The Indian population is now explicitly saying they plan to use their demographic dominance overseas, the diaspora, so literally just their sheer biomass. Because I remind you, you could replace every single Irishman with somebody from India. India wouldn't even notice. They wouldn't even notice. There are 4 to 5 million Irish people in Ireland. There's 4 to 5 million people in Ireland. Some percentage of them are Irish. There's 1.5 billion Indians. You could replace every single European person in Europe. Every single one would be replaced with an Indian. There would still be a billion Indians in India trying to get to Europe. This is not a feasible path to take. Endless Indian immigration forever until the whole world is India. Like, it's crazy, but that's what that's basically what they want to do. And so they're just going, we have so many people. Let's send as many people as humanly possible into Western countries, have our people game the system, have the people that are already there teach the new arrivals how to get the free loans, how to get the free businesses, how to get the government subsidies, how to bring in their family members, how to register to vote, then vote for more of our people to bring in more of our people to take more jobs, to vote for more of our people. This is their actual stated plan, and they're doing it. The only difference is they're just not as subtle as the Jews are, to be honest with you. It's like, if I was a Jew right now, I'd be looking at India going, you're kind of blowing our whole thing. You can't do this explicitly. Don't you know that secrecy is the main aspect of this? Because the Indians are just coming out and doing it. They're just coming out and saying it. Indian lobby groups across New Zealand have put forward an ultimatum to the New Zealand political parties. They have identified that their 18.4 ethnic voting bloc and claim they will influence their communities to vote based on which party represents the most fit-for-purpose policies that combat hate speech and enforce, quote, social cohesion. What an obnoxious display of hostility and a perfect example of how multiculturalism completely undermines a Western democracy. All foreign lobbying groups should be disbanded immediately and hostile foreigners sent back to their home countries. We need remigration now. Ethnic and faith leaders give election ultimatum to political parties on hate provocation. So the Indians are literally like, hey, you know, you've welcomed in so many of us, we now make up a fifth of your voting population. So now we get to decide what you pass and what you don't. You can't win without our bloc. We promise to vote in a bloc. Our people will vote as we say. So if you do what we want, you'll get elected. If you don't, we won't. Forget the 4/5 of the population that is not Indian and isn't compelled by this and isn't motivated by this. They have the decision-making power now. And they're open about it. They literally write a letter called an ultimatum. And they send it to the politicians going, you know, we're demographically going to overwhelm you. Which is, it's almost funny because it's like, okay, if they're doing this now at 15% of the population, what do you think they're going to do when they're more of a percentage? And if the things they're promoting restrict the ability of the average New Zealander to speak out against the immigration, if you call that hate speech and ban it, then the feedback loop continues without any friction or barriers or obstacles whatsoever. But it goes further. Let's go now to clip number 30. Here's a Indian guy talking about this new concept of Indian internationalism, which I remind you, the politicians and the thinkers in India are explicitly modeling after the way that Israel uses the Jewish diaspora. And we just played the video from the Israeli diaspora minister chief talking about how they're going to weaponize the Jewish populations in all of these countries in order to both push gun control measures and exclude themselves from those measures, exempt themselves from those restraints. Here's India basically looking around and going, we got a lot of people out there. Let's do that. Let's watch.
Here's a vision that I have, which maybe complementary, or it's kind of cutting at, you know, right angles, right? Which is not Indian nationalism. That's a domestic kind of message, which I understand why it's there, okay? But Indian internationalism, what does that mean? So that is something that appeals to Indians of both. And by the way, I'm not saying this is incompatible with either a left or both left and right could adopt this as part of their platform. It's just a different way of thinking about things. Okay. What is Indian internationalism? It is, it's visas for Indians. It is thinking of the diaspora as something that you want to facilitate. Basically both left and right want Indians to be able to travel anywhere, Indians to be able to get any job in the world, Indian companies to be able to compete with anybody. This is leaning into the diaspora, basically, right? When I said India is 10x Israel, leaning into the diaspora, making it really easy to be an international Indian. Like Israel does a lot of stuff with its diaspora.
Right.
Right? Right. So organizing diaspora, I think, is going to be very important.
So again, back to my original question. If you're against this, do you hate Indians? If you're against this for India, are you against it for Jews or Muslims or Pakistanis or anybody else? Do you oppose this on principle because it's just obviously a form of taking advantage of, hijacking, weaponizing, and betraying our open liberal democratic systems? Or are you only against that if it doesn't benefit you? I mean, again, they're just being more explicit, but they're explicitly predicating this and modeling this after the Jewish diaspora and the way that Israel wields them. Is this the world we want to live in? We're just you're going to have certain homelands that are untouchable, right? India will always be India. Israel will always be Israel. China will always be China. Africa will always be full of Africans. But everywhere else is going to be simply a battlefield for these various diasporas trying to outbreed each other so they can seize control and benefit themselves and weaponize the system against others. Like, is that the world you want to live in? Because that's the world without white people, folks. That's the world you're trying to create. Well, doesn't that sound lovely? You know, you'll have Indians on one side, Jews on the other, Muslims on a third, Chinese on a fourth, and they'll all just be ruthlessly trying to gain material advantage over everybody else and justifying any and all actions in pursuit of that. Look at the way Israel justifies its actions amongst its neighbors and remind yourself that they feel the same way about you. Is this the world we want to live in? Because that's the world we're creating. That's the world we're actively entering into. No brakes on the train. I think we should derail the train. And of course, the danger of Israel in particular is that they aren't just starting to try to do this. For India, they're kind of looking around going, hey, we got a billion people out there. Let's use that. Let's weaponize that. Let's take advantage of that. The Jews, they're well practiced in this regard, using the diaspora to achieve certain things, which is very concerning because they seem to have already established a very thorough and succinct method by which they can sort of transmit these orders to the wider diaspora. Let's go now to this video. Former Hamas and intelligence member Mossab Hassan Youssef threatens to destroy America with secret advanced weapons that Israel kept hidden. He says Israel is just playing around for now, and he has a clear message to America. Now, interestingly, this guy, he's actually the son of one of the co-founders of Hamas, and he was a Hamas member, but he turned on Hamas and betrayed his family and is now like an Israeli spokesperson. And he's very aggressive in his push, and you'll probably recognize him. But here he was yesterday at the Jewish News Syndicate, threatening America with destruction. Let's watch.
I've been saying this from day one. I did not want Trump's involvement in this war because he has been a disadvantage. And as I said, I only represent myself. I only represent myself. He does not understand war. And he wants Israel to work according to his schedule. And he wants Mossad to be ready any moment. When we had the upper hand, he killed the opportunity. And we were not ready. He rushed. Help is on the way. This is not how it works. This is the recipe for a disaster. And I saw that coming before they even they went to the war. But anyway, who does go to war on a schedule? When you go to war, especially against such powerful enemy, you don't say, I want to finish it in 5 weeks. Nobody go to the war on a schedule. And when you go to war, you better be ready, not only for winning. Defeat is possible. Death is possible. You don't go to war only thinking about winning and victory. That's not the quality of people who really and actually want to accomplish tasks.
So again, it's just you can feel the gratitude emanating off of him, can't you? They literally forced Trump into this war. They promise him that it will take 4 days, 4 days, and it'll all be great. Now, Trump's an idiot for believing them. Yes, that's true. No, they completely bamboozled him, and he, like a sucker, fell for it. I don't take that away from him. But then for them to come out and basically bitch out Trump for doing exactly what they wanted, I don't know. It's just humiliating. That's just humiliating for Trump. Just over and over and over again, Trump is humiliated by these people over and over and over and over and over and over again. Let's go to clip number 26 here. Same guy, former Hamas member, now Israeli intelligence asset, who, I mean, I do kind of appreciate the fact that he continues to talk exactly like a Hamas member. Only he's now a Zionist stooge. Just what a despicable person. Let's go to clip 26 now.
Israel's existence is not negotiable, and it does not depend on superpowers or the public opinion. And if they keep pushing Israel to the corner, they are the ones who are going to suffer the most. Israel hasn't used everything that it has. And Israel, on a purpose, did not expose the advanced weapons that it has for a very important reason. We don't want the enemy to know what we are having. And now, at this point, we are just playing around. So this is the clear message to those who think that they can annihilate Israel. Behind Israel is existence.
So I don't know if I need to tell you, like, that's a threat. He's threatening us. What else could the interpretation be? And again, it's kind of nice because Israelis, like, they're good at not making these types of threats so explicit. But you get a former Hamas guy, he looks the part. He looks freaking psychotic. He looks angry. He looks like the caricature of a rabid Muslim terrorist. And he's just like, if you think we're going to go away, you will go away. If you keep pushing Israel into a corner, you will suffer the most. And of course, you have the Jewish lady next to him just like, yep, they're going to suffer. Yeah, they're going to burn. We're going to burn them. That's the more typical style that you get out of Israel. And just nodding along as if it's just going to happen, right? Because again, this is the thing that they do where they go, God will punish you for opposing Israel. And then they, knock the Twin Towers down and go, that was God. See, I told you God would punish you. So when he phrased it, he's just like, if you back Israel into court, it's you who will suffer. She's like nodding. That's what the Bible says. It's like, he's not talking about the Bible, lady. He's talking about setting off miniaturized nukes in American cities. He's talking about planting explosives into the electronic equipment of American politicians to murder them. He's talking about the tens of thousands, somewhere between 20 and 30,000 trained IDF soldiers that are American citizens and they're living amongst us right now, having trained and practiced killing children and civilians in Gaza and then come back home to go to the University of Chicago and act like they're normal Americans like the rest of us. How many other secret weapons do you think they're seeding into our population just in case we try to annihilate them, which, of course, is Israeli speak for merely not do what they want in an expedited manner? We went to war with Iran on their behalf. We've lost a war in Iran on their behalf. We have taken in, I mean, my God, just the number of stuff that we do. I saw a classic clip from Nick Fuentes and Destiny debating years ago, but it has this amazing factoid in it, because Destiny's like, if you care so much about foreign aid, like, Israel's not the only country that accepts foreign aid. And Nick responds like, well, Israel's the number one outlet of our foreign aid. The number two outlet of our foreign aid is Egypt, who we only started giving massive amounts of foreign aid to so they wouldn't attack Israel. So that's another bill on Israel's tab. But, you know, it technically goes to Egypt, but we're just paying them off. We're paying them protection money for the sake of Israel. Endless. It's endless giving from America. And then because of the configuration of reality that the economy cannot sustain the Strait of Hormuz being closed down for any longer, because of this just tangible, physical reality that we exist in, and Trump says, look, we just can't do this for much longer. Stuff's got to change. That's the response. The response you just heard is in consequence of Trump and the American government just going, we physically can't wage this pointless war for you anymore. And they're just like, well, then prepare to be destroyed. Then prepare to be annihilated. You cannot destroy Israel. Anyone who tries will be destroyed in the process. He thinks not doing what they want is trying to destroy them. By the way, this is not in no way anywhere near the first time he has made these types of threats. It's going out of clip number 15. Here's him on Piers Morgan with Cenk Uygur not too long ago. Let's watch.
Iranian nuclear program is going to be destroyed. And anyone who gets in the way, it doesn't matter where they are, even if they are politicians in the West, they are going to fall because we cannot afford.
Hold on. Did you hear what he just said? He threatened politicians in the West that if they don't agree with Israel's war against Iran, that they're going to fall. And remember, he's an Israeli agent. Are you saying Israel will murder politicians in the West or get rid of them politically through bribery or whatever else? What do you mean the politicians in the West will fall if they don't agree that to back Israel's war against Iran?
Yeah, we will not vote for them anymore.
Oh, well, you don't vote for them now. You're not in our country. What do you mean the politicians will fall?
We live in democracy. And we have the right to bring them up and to bring them down. Those who agree with Ayatollah, we don't want them in office. And all the sympathizers with terrorists like yourself, we don't want them even to be in our country.
Who is we and how are you bringing them down?
Okay, we is the Jewish diaspora that they order from Israel to do certain things. It's the overwhelming wealth that is committed on the Republican and the Democratic side. Look at what happened to Thomas Massie. He's talking about that, but yes, he's also talking about killing politicians. I love this guy. It's like, finally, we get an Israeli who actually says what they mean, who actually makes the threats. None of this, like, double blind, like, well, you better be careful. He's like, no, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you for opposing us.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple. TheOliveShowStore.com. You back us. You fund us. You are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at TheOliveShowStore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gate at theyellowstonestore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at theyellowstonestore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, a 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today, and also buy gifts for friends and family, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating, level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's ahead of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity fed, water filtration, and it makes this operation possible. Multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals at non-detectable levels, the atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 free. Defund the deep state. That's all their designs. America, ride fast, live free. They designed that. Ball caps as well. All limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, I for the most part, try to only, like, respond to what is being said by the enemy. So that when I say things that may seem outrageous or extremist or whatever, you don't have to believe me. You can listen to them. And you can not like me for listening to them and believing them and then opposing what they say. You can't call me a liar, and you can't say I'm making up stuff to, you know, discredit a bunch of innocent people. They're not innocent. And I don't know if we are fully aware of the threat, especially that the Israeli problem poses to our country. And has for a long time, by the way. You know, we can get into some of, you know, what's going on with Iran. And of course, it's all tied in together. We've got headlines like this from Middle East Monitor. Trump curbs Israel across multiple fronts, Israeli media reports. Qatar says U.S.-Iran hotline has been opened for the Strait of Hormuz. There are ships traversing at the Strait of Hormuz. That's being reported at the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Rubio defends Iran deal on Gulf tour. Israel insists on troops in southern Lebanon. Israeli negotiators, meanwhile, say talks with Beirut are a train wreck, slamming the U.S.-Iran MOU for including Lebanon. Meanwhile, Trump's internal documents show Trump's Board of Peace is moving to crush Palestinian self-determination. Iran calls MOU deal a U.S. defeat as Trump touts Tehran forced into, quote, very big concessions. Of course, Israel is not conceding anything. Israeli Defense Minister Katz says Israel, quote, will not withdraw from southern Lebanon, even if the U.S. demands it. We will not listen to the U.S., with Netanyahu, Katz, and IDF chief also issuing a joint statement that the IDF will continue to act decisively in Lebanon, contradicting Trump's claims of a ceasefire holding and the stop of attacks. Israel is currently bombing South Lebanon with Israeli drones over Beirut in the last few hours. There is no ceasefire, and there will be no final U.S.-Iran deal. And then you have this from today. Israel targeted Gaza children, resulting in genocide, U.S. inquiry says. Israel deliberately targeted Palestinian children, says the UN inquiry. Israel calls the report a libelous sham, as it says it strives to minimize harm to children, which is a lie. I don't even know why you have to print something like that. It's just crazy. You know, it's like, well, the man was found in a basement with a bunch of chopped up body parts covered in blood with a foot hanging out of his mouth. But he says he didn't eat anybody. It's like you can just ignore what he says. We have reality. We know reality. We can see it on display every single day. They friggin' killed Lebanon's Jane Goodall, essentially, a woman who was famous for trying to save baby sea turtles. They bombed her to death. Whoops. Whoopsie daisy. They're murdering children at a rate of 30% of those killed in Gaza, according to the UN finding. So they're evil. I mean, again, this isn't hard to lay out. It's like, how dare you call Israel evil? It's like, I'm against killing children, and they do a lot of that. They do a lot of it. It's like a big portion of their military activity is deliberately sniping children, drones dropping bombs on children. I mean, in Lebanon, they drop explosives that look like soccer balls and other types of toys. They have drones that play the sound of crying babies to lure people out concerned about the welfare of children, and then shoot them from the drones. I mean, again, we could just go on forever about the endless atrocities of Israel that are occurring as we speak. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And of course, Israelis are furious, and they're calling this, saying it's anti-Semitic, it's libelous. How dare they investigate something and come to a conclusion that doesn't paint Israel in the highest, brightest possible light? How Israel failed to take over the UN, I'm constantly confused by. It's like the only body, and I don't even like the UN, but it's like in this case, they're doing God's work. And we can go to a video here of one of the UN peoples, clip number 28, talking about sort of the hardest decision in all of this. Not publishing the names of the child victims. Let's watch.
The hardest decision we had to make in completing this report was the decision not to name the Palestinian children whose deaths, injuries, and suffering we describe. It was a hard decision because children have a right under the Convention of the Rights of the Child to a name and an identity. And one of the difficulties in dealing with public understanding of the situation in Gaza and the West Bank is that these children are anonymized. They're anonymized in the statistics themselves of tens of thousands of children affected in this way. And they're certainly entitled to be recognized, to be named in death. We didn't name them because we feared the consequences for their families. We have a basic fundamental principle not to add further harm to the harm that people have already suffered. And it was hard for us not to name these children. But my final comment is to plead with us all to see these children, to see them as individuals with identities, with lives that they must have been enjoying at least before October 2023, and futures that have now been cut short. And to see in these children our own children and grandchildren, because this is a universal issue. This is not merely a Palestinian issue. It's an issue that should affect us all.
So, I mean, again, God bless the guy, but you're appealing to these people? Like, look, okay. Either you're against killing kids or not. There's nobody out there who justifies this that you're going to appeal to, and they're going to be convinced. You can show them videos. They laugh at them. They think they're funny. They don't care. They love it, in fact. But you hear what he just said? He just said they did not publish the names of the children murdered by Israel because Israel would murder their families if they knew that the families participated in this UN inquiry. That's who we're dealing with here. I mean, when you really compare in a truly unbiased, unprejudiced way, Israel is worse than ISIS. They're worse than Hamas. They're worse than anybody. And they do it just out in the open. And I think that confuses people. It really does. And I've sort of speculated about this a while, this idea that, like, when you commit evil at such a scale and with such bravado, it actually, like misfires in people's brains where they get confused and they go, well, if this is as bad as it seems, then they wouldn't be proud of it. So it must not be as bad as it seems. I don't understand this psychology, but like I do think there's an element of that. For example, I don't wonder where I should take this, but Megan Basham on X wrote, I've never seen Jews stringing up little girls because they wore lip gloss or jeans. And it's like, well, no, they just blow them up for where they live. No, they just shred them with shrapnel while they're sleeping. So, I mean, what are you talking about? So, I mean, like, this is literally it. It's like, who has killed more children in the last 2 years? Iran or Israel? Now, you know, if Iran put somebody to death, you know, maybe they don't publicize it. They don't really hide it either, but, you know, it's not as out in the open. Is it just that Israel is killing these little girls with bombs, so it's fine? They don't do it individually. They do it in a mass, like a massacre type setting. Like that makes it okay somehow? I don't get this. I don't think this is a good way to think about stuff. I've never heard of Jewish rape gangs. Really? Is that so? I've never heard of Jews forcing their women to live every moment of their public life, peering through a slit in a black sheet. Jews never blew up our buildings or beheaded Christians. What are you talking about, lady? She's like, I'm ignorant of history, therefore. Have you looked into it? Have you studied this at all? Because the reality is that the Jewish population is plagued by extremism, is plagued by pedophilia, to a degree almost more than your average Muslim population. And I'll show you evidence here in just a second. She continues, you have a problem with Israel, fine. Register your geopolitical opposition to our foreign policy with regards to Israel, but I've never been afraid of what a Jew would do to me or my daughters. Well, okay. Should we expose all of this as a lie? Because what happens is when you actually look into this and you realize all of these things are in fact true about Jews, just like they're true about most populations, but more so about Jews, then you should really stop to ask, why have you never seen stories about Jews killing little girls? Because it happens every day. In Israel and Gaza, I mean, they are murdering endless amounts of little girls. You don't hear about it, though. You don't hear about the Jewish rape gangs? That's not because they don't exist. It's because they're not reported on. So your next question should be, why aren't these things reported on? If these things are in fact happening, which they are, and I'll show you proof in just a second, why is it not being covered in the mainstream media? Why is it not even covered in the alternative media? See, the absence of evidence in this case is actually evidence of further corruption, complicity, and cover-up by the very people that are committing the crime, but also happen to run the media outlets. If you don't think there's a danger that we face from the specifically Israeli, but wider Jewish diaspora, the extremist, the leadership of that diaspora, then you're crazy. You're crazy because it's not hard to figure out. And by the way, it's not even hard to understand this at a religious level. If you read the rape gang inquiry in the UK about the Muslim rape gangs, you know, there was multiple instances where they would talk about the way that the white girls would be brutally, horrifically, endlessly abused, endlessly disrespected, deliberately humiliated, and that they would explicitly tell the girls, we don't do this to our kind. We don't do this to Muslim girls. Their purity is to be protected. There's another video of a Muslim gang storming into a house and attacking a British guy, kidnapping him, actually, because he'd said something about one of the Pakistani girls. Is this hypocrisy? I don't know if it is. It's just a mindset. It's just a worldview. And it's a worldview that's held by almost everybody on the planet, by the way. It's only white people, really, that have risen above, like white cultures, white countries. We don't do this sort of stuff, but they do. And guess what? The Jews do it too. The Muslims do it too. And they'll say it, and they're the ones that say it. Have you read the Epstein files? Is there a reason why, out of the dozens and dozens and dozens of women trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators, that not a single girl was Jewish, and that the people that were doing it were almost entirely Jewish, and they would talk explicitly about how the shishkas, or whatever they call them, female goyim, are worth less and can be abused? It's the same mindset that the Muslims have. Maybe it's not as aggressive, as upfront. It's a little bit more subtle. But it's all there in the Epstein files. It's all there in the statement of the survivors who recount the way that they were demeaned and discriminated against because they weren't Jews. So you know this happens. You just don't want to believe that Jews might do it also. But that's your own prejudice coming into effect. So the danger that this poses is enormous and kind of overwhelming. Let's go to clip 35 now. This was a person in the Jewish news syndicate, of course, bragging about the way the Jews use their official positions in places of power to destroy the lives of people who oppose them. Let's watch.
Francesca Albanese, the UN rapporteur on Palestine. As you know, I don't have to tell this audience, she has said that America is controlled by the Jewish lobby. On October 7th, she defended Hamas, said there's a context. And every 5 minutes on Twitter, she is echoing the worst blood libels against Israel. She is the leading purveyor of the genocide libel. We are fighting back. We are fighting back. We have exposed her. We have exposed her hateful remarks. She is now the first UN rapporteur in history to have been condemned by France, Germany, Canada, the Netherlands, the UK, Argentina, Hungary, the US, and many other countries, Latvia, Estonia, many other countries. And each condemnation matters. And we led a campaign. We got 120,000 people, including many here, who signed our petition, asking Secretary Rubio to take action when the UN failed to act. Secretary Rubio announced for the first time in history the U.S. would sanction a UN official on July 9th. For the first time in history, UN Rapporteur Francesca Albanese was sanctioned by the United States. No more lectures that she used to give in Harvard, Princeton, Georgetown and Columbia. She is banned entry from the United States. She cannot use a bank card. She cannot use a debit card. She cannot receive a payment. And in her words,
so just to clarify, Francesca Albanese, as a UN rapporteur, told the truth about what Israel is doing, just like how the latest UN inquiry came to the accurate and verifiable and evidence-based conclusion that Israel is carrying out a genocide and deliberately targeting children. So here's how it works. They'll kill children. They'll kill whoever the hell they want. If you even talk about it, they will destroy your life. They will use the incredible power that they have collectively in governments all over the world. He just listed out like 10 different countries that all made public statements against Francesca Albanese. They didn't say that her information wasn't accurate. It was accurate. It wasn't based on hate. It was based on the facts on the ground. But they have the ability to get all of these countries to issue official sanctions against this woman for daring to tell the truth about Israel. That is the overwhelming power they already enjoy, obviously. But of course, on top of that, they can use the power of the industrial sector to get her banned from using banks. So she was doing her job. She was basing her report and her understanding of the situation on, basing that on the facts on the ground. They have now destroyed her life, banned her from banking, and they're not going to stop, by the way. They're not going to stop until she's dead. They will hound her for the rest of her life, just like they hounded the woman who exposed the fact that the Israeli prison guards were systematically raping the prisoners. She tried to commit suicide. They stopped her because she was being harassed and abused so much by her fellow Israelis and threw her in prison. So again, when you're talking about, like, I've never seen Jews string up children, it's like, do you want to see the video that was just blurred out right there? Because they just brought up a video that was blurred out. I'm not sure I can show it without getting some angry calls, because of course it's just yet another example of a child writhing in pain, covered in blood, split open, because he's a child in a place that Israel wants to bomb. So screw him. But it gets worse than that, obviously, right? For one thing, America is being screwed over because these people are so ruthless and they control America. These people are so bloodthirsty and despotic and demented. So, like, it's ruining America, and it's ruining it here, obviously, but it's also ruining it overseas because nobody trusts us anymore. Report on it yesterday. Trump gets negative reviews internationally as fewer say U.S. is a reliable partner. We can also go to clip 38 here. This is the president of Iran talking about why they are being so hardlined in negotiations and why they actually need to punish America. Because it's our action at the behest of Israel that is actually destroying the concept of human rights, because the Israelis don't believe in human rights, because they're not a Western country, because they're not like us. They're diametrically opposed to us in a lot of ways. And it's destroying everything, our sycophantic adherence to their insanity. Here's the president of Iran.
It will never exist if we...
And it pauses here for a second because I translated it on AI, but it picks up in just a moment. Yeah, keep going. You got to keep rolling it.
Did not have our missiles, which were for our own defense, Israel would have hit Iran and America would have hit Iran like Gaza, and they would have shown no mercy to the young and old. They talk about human rights, which is a big lie. And if we could not defend ourselves, they would certainly have shown no mercy to our country and destroyed our power. As a result, we will never, ever talk to anyone in front of our own defense capabilities.
So again, they're just like, if we didn't have these missiles, they would treat us like they treated Gaza. There's no trusting these people. There's no human rights ever. They don't exist. If you don't have the ability to fight them off, then they will destroy you. And that's a lesson that Iran is teaching to the world, really. But going back to Megum Basham, I gathered some articles here just to maybe explain to her about the Jewish rape gangs that are a very present and consistent phenomenon. Of course, there's one just May of this year talking about how Jeffrey Epstein grew up in a neighborhood where every child was molested, apparently. And they think this is normal. They're like, didn't everybody grow up in a neighborhood like this? It's like, no, you freaks. What the hell? That was from Rolling Stone. I grew up with Jeffrey Epstein. Our neighborhood held dark secrets. Where he just talked about, like, literally every single person in the neighborhood was routinely molested by the adults there. Okay? That very Jewish neighborhood Jeffrey Epstein learned his morals in. Having daughters forced me to face the Orthodox world's misogyny. Like, if you think that Jewish women, I mean, Reform Judaism is very feminist, but, like, Orthodox Judaism is extremely misogynistic. Their women aren't allowed to have hair. Do you know that? When you see an Orthodox woman dressed in all black because she's not allowed to wear anything else, wearing a veil, she's wearing a wig. They shave all of the hair off the women. You want to talk about oppression. I'm against that personally. I'm against it. So go look up the Orthodox Jewish community if you think, you know, you've never heard of this. What about this from Vice.com? The child rape assembly line. This was the Hasidic community in New Jersey and New York, where rabbis were running a, quote, child rape assembly line, covering it all up, doing it in a universal fashion. Of course, you can go back in history, see things like Duf Nuwas, who reigned in Himyar, what is now called Yemen. He was called the one who burns because he was a Jewish leader that tried to genocide all the Christians by throwing them in pits and lighting them on fire. Not to mention the Bolshevik Revolution and everything that happened after that. Israeli officials suggest, I'm gonna get into this tomorrow. I didn't have time to get into it today, but tomorrow I'm going to go over at least 10 places around the world where Israel and Israelis are buying huge real estate holdings and creating colonies all around the world. I'll save that for tomorrow, but we'll finish with clip 29 here. We don't quite have time for it. But she talks about, I've never seen, you know, Jewish people never knock down buildings in America. And there's a report from Fox News describing how the Mossad, Israel's intelligence arm, infiltrated many parts of our government and knew about 9/11 before it happened. And they aired that on Fox. I'll just save it for tomorrow because we're almost out of time. But like, if you don't understand the threat that is posed by Israel and Mossad and the assassination groups and the terrorist groups and the false flags they've carried out, and the buildings they did bomb in the Middle East that was they were driving out the British, and the assassinations they carried out because of them. And now they're trying to merge fully with our government. This is the biggest danger we face right now. It absolutely is. And if you think the Islamic threat is the biggest danger, guess why we have an Islamic threat? Guess why we have Islamists in our country, and guess why they hate us? Any guesses? Can you imagine why it might be?
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.